reservation. That umbrella I'm saving. Sure, I'm committed to God, but just in case God fails. Just in case God didn't come through. How about, are you committed that if God fails, you'll rejoice in failing? God failed. He let the demonic, unbelieving world slip in begrudgingly through deceit, take the perfect Lamb of God, carry him through the mockery of a trial. Any of you ever had to go to court? I work with a lot of people who think they know what Jesus went through. A lot of our courts are mockeries concerning justice. Now, that's not always true. But a lot of it is. It's amazing how much mockery is going on. And God allowed this Jesus to be taken by this motley crowd of bigots and put him in the gas chamber. That's what it'd be today. Electric chair. Nailed him to a cross. God failed. Well, Jesus had to face that in the garden. Father, I'm aware of here of something within me that knows better and wants to do better. But I know you well enough to know that your will is greater. And even if it's failure, I'd rather go down trusting you than to take a step without you. Not my will. And for the joy that was set before him. What joy? The joy of knowing he's in the Father's will. The joy of that inner approval of the smile of God in his soul. That joy that removes conflict between the conscious and subconscious. That joy that sanctifies the heart. For if my heart condemn me not, then have I confidence with God. For out of God's revelation of love, you know his will is perfect. And you're willing to surrender your will to his. Now, I'm kind of like Effie said this morning. Incidentally, meditations start Monday morning. Again, we'll be at 7 o'clock. Effie, that was so beautiful this morning. And I'm like you, darling. I can identify with yielding my will to God just on the vertical, you know. I don't have much trouble with that anymore. But if it means that in yielding my will to God, he lets you have your way with me. No, thank you. Francis and I have had to really work that out. God, you have your way. That means Francis doesn't have her way. And, well, I'll be willing to give up a little bit on my way since she can't have her way. All in the name of God. But what about if giving up to God means your wife ends up? Hallelujah. What about the bishop was right in sending that preacher back to you? I've been so mad at our bishop this spring. We won't have our annual conference until next week, 2 weeks. But he's already let the word out that he's going to appoint a boy as district superintendent. Little old wet behind the ear boy. Doesn't know peas from turkey. Just an apple polisher. Then been smiling at the bishop. And the bishop's so senile, he's believed it. You know, and we're going to make him a district superintendent. And I've already got a letter written. I haven't mailed it yet. Telling the bishop how he's going to bring the wrath of the conference down on him. You know, try to blame it on the conference. You know, amazing, isn't it? And finally I have to say, Lord, I'm willing for you to make a district superintendent out of anybody, you know, if you want to use a toad, it's all right. Amazing, isn't it? Can't you? In the Baptist church and congregational churches, you have to believe in the God's ability to get the majority vote. But in the Episcopal churches, you know, with the Episcopal church, Methodist and Catholic and Anglican and so on, God, if he can just get the bishop, he's got it made. amazing, isn't it? And boy, I don't believe God can get it through the system. And over I have a fight with God because I'm in the system. Can God really work through it? And sometimes I hear the words of Rufus concerning healing. Somebody said, well, Brother Rufus, you think God uses doctors? Wrote Rufus hallelujah a few times, you know. Said, yes, I'm persuaded to believe that sometimes he heals with doctors, and sometimes he heals without doctors. Sometimes he heals in spite of doctors. Hallelujah, you know. So I think it's that way with the system, that God can use the systems, or sometimes can do it in spite of the system. It's amazing, isn't it? But my faith is challenged concerning the will of God. And so was the faith of Jesus challenged. But in every challenge, unlike me, he responded, Father, my joy is to yield. Not my will, thine be done. I belong to God. I'm learning to trust him with my will. I'm learning to obey the dictates of love. See, sometimes I hear people give the impression that if God starts having his way in my life, that means he's done away with my will. See? That I've yielded up my will, and consequently, my will doesn't exist. No. See, we made that mistake in some quarters in talking about the submissive wife. Wives, submit yourself to your husbands. And that meant you just submit. That's not submission, that's abdication. You know, that's abdicate. I mean, what about if I wanted to go? I'll go at home and Frances was going to submit to me. I'd say, darling, come submit to me. And she, yes, go, yeah, goes like a dishcloth on me. You know. Who wants to kiss a dishcloth? I mean, if she's got a tucker, submit it. You know? Submit means to respond to offer yourself to present yourself a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. Not a dead offering. So submit your will means not that you just say, I don't have will, I don't have will, I don't have will. So many people spend so much time wasting in prayer. Just, oh, I told God, anything he wants to give me, I'll take any old thing. I just want God to use me. I pray God to use me. What would you like to do? I don't care, as long as God does it. Not me, just God. If I could just get myself off my hands, it's God. I want to say it is God. But it's God in you. And it's God as you. And the way God makes his will known in your life is by indwelling your will with his will. And using your will through his will. By putting his desires in your heart. God has made you so that as much as possible, you're going to do like you want to do. Now, conversion doesn't change that creative process. New birth doesn't change that creative process. God has made human beings so they live by the dictates of the desires of the heart as much as possible. Well, what in the world is conversion all about? It means that God puts his desire in your heart. You know, and you begin to have God's desire as your own desire. For to me to live is Christ. And he makes it a part of our own makeup. I will thy will, O Lord. And Rufus again used to put it this way. He said, that's when you want to and you ought to are one. You want to do what you ought to do, and you ought to do what you want to do. Now you just think about that. When you want to do what you ought to do, and ought to do what you want to do, you've got it made. Well, that's it. That's the new order. That's what Jesus discovered. Consequently, there was no conflict within him, so no sickness could touch him. Every cell of his body knew that orientation of love, of totally belonging in love, of wholly yielding in glad obedience in life, and obeying the dictates of holy love. You're trying that, aren't you? Obeying the dictates of holy love. Just try it. Well, this is what CFO is about. It's an experiment in kingdom living. See, you can think whatever you want to think about me right here. You can look up at him and say, you know, I wish he'd hush. He's taking up enough time. Or you could think, well, I don't quite know what he's talking about, but he looks like he's having a good time. You know, he helps me laugh. You know, whatever. See, you choose. God is not going to drill a hole in your head and force something on you. You choose. What do you choose to think concerning me? See, you can identify with any level of emotional thought in your life, or you can say, Lord, I'd love to see Tommy in something of the way you see him. Do you have a thought concerning Tommy that's better than anything I've got right now? And if you do, I'll die out to what I've got to take what you've got. And it's amazing if you're willing to die out. I want to say, God, give me your thought first and I'll see. You know, I'll see which one I'd rather have. But see, God doesn't do it that way. It's as we die out to the old that we're born of the new. And that step of faith, one foot on solid ground. Who was quoting Mother Angelica? One foot on solid ground and the other foot in the air. Mother Angelica said that's the stance of faith. One foot on solid ground, the other foot in the air, ready to go. And that's true. You come to Jesus not to see if his way is better. You come because you know yours is hopeless. You know? And Jesus, it's you. And I take my stand and get my foot ready. And start that way of faith and love concerning life. And do you know it's amazing how practical it really is? I've shared with you some of the family life as from time to time as I've been with you. And you all know that one of the great traumas in my life was a few years ago when our youngest son, Kenneth, fell in love with his mother's best friend, and she with him, and they were talking about romance and marriage. He was 24 at that time, and she was about 50. Had two boys older than he is, married, grandchildren. There's no boy that really didn't know Jesus, and just getting out of the service, and hadn't found himself, hadn't found the Lord. Here was a 51 or 52-year-old woman, you know, that was baptized with the Holy Ghost for years, walked with Jesus for years, and somehow had gotten passion for, you know, a young buck. This is my language. And, you know, and was laying it all on God. And I was right here in this camp when God woke me up at night. I'd wake up. I found out later it was the Lord. But I'd wake up and thoughts would come. I didn't know about this romance. But thoughts would come and I'd write the thoughts down. And I went back home and I said to Frances, let me read you what came in the night this week. And I read. And she said, darling, that can't be true. Barbara Ann just would not do that. Well, I said, let's go see her. And we went to see Barbara Ann. And I read her my notes. And I said, if I'm wrong, I need repenting real badly. But if I'm right, I want you to admit it. And I read it, including not only her methods, but her motives. And when I finished, she said, that's God. Because God knows I intend to marry him. And boy, you know, she bought a Mercedes sports car. Let that old yellow sports car become Ken's, you know. He moved in with her. I mean, a Holy Ghost woman. I wanted to say, that's the devil. Well, I think the devil got into it. You know, understand that. But boy, I fought it tooth and toenail. I knew it'd be the worst thing that ever happened. Well, they got married anyhow. Now, you understand, I haven't given up completely. You know, no, it's not all justified. It's not all daisies in my book. But I'll have to say, if you see anything hanging out of my mouth, it's crow feathers. I'm eating crow. They've been married now for 2.5 years. They look, seem like they love each other more than pig loves lox. They pray about everything. That old boy just calls me up 2 or 3 times a week. And, Daddy, pray with me about this. Pray with me about that. Talks about how to walk in the Spirit. That's amazing. He got hooked up with Amway. He's bought it. Looks like it was the gospel. You know, believes it all. Just as sold on Amway as I am on Jesus. He doesn't know the difference, are you? And boy, he's having the happiest time. They can be broke, but that's all right. They got Jesus and one another. And they're praying, they're trusting the Lord. And I tell you, the Lord is using what I thought would be the worst tragedy that had ever come and turning it into a beautiful victory. Now, I don't blame everything on God. But I tell you one thing, when Jesus comes, regardless of the mess we've made, regardless of how sick we are, regardless of the sins we've committed, when Jesus comes, and in his presence, darkness is turned to day, and sickness is turned to health, and stumbling blocks are turned to stepping stones. And everything within us cries out. In him is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And in him I am complete. Let's pray. With heart and head bowed before the King of Glory, he's in our midst tonight. He's nearer than hands or feet. He's nearer than breath that we breathe. Jesus is here. And I'm going to ask Virginia, if you will, just come and place something on the pen of your own choosing. And on this beautiful Saturday night, this Lord Jesus is gentle. He's powerful, but he's gentle. And as much as possible, it seems, he delights in our opening the door to him. He knocks and says, if you're ready, I am. And beloved, we do start right where we are, don't we? Any area of our life tonight where we see the seeds of self-destruction, and we realize the hopelessness through that area of life, will you let that be an open door to Jesus? And say, Jesus, I do not have the wherewithal to fulfill the vision of my own soul, but I see it in you. I want to yield to you. I pray you to come in, take over. Be Lord of my life, that I might be fulfilled in you, and you might be fulfilled in me. Now you are invited to do that right as you pray right now. But one thing I love about this particular room is that we have an altar. And somehow growing up in the church with an altar, I'll have to go to the altar. And you don't have to, but right now, if there's something within you that says, I want to give myself more completely to Jesus, I want to surrender this area of my life, I want to give this relationship to Him, I want to open this door to Him, and you'd like to slip out of your seat and just come and kneel while Virginia is playing, do it right now, and we'll have a prayer together. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. As many as come unto me, he said, I will in no wise cast them out. Just follow His Spirit in your own heart. His arm is not shortened that he cannot reach us. His ear is not deafened that he cannot hear us. He hears. He hears the heart that's crying to him now at this altar or in the seats. And he hears and answers. Not according to our limitations, but according to the power that is demonstrated in His own resurrection. And as we've committed our way to Him tonight, we can rest assuredly He will direct our path and bring glory to His name. Father, thank you for letting us worship tonight. Thank you for the gospel, the good news of Jesus. Thank you for brothers and sisters with whom to share and pray and serve. We commend and commit ourselves and one another for heaven's continuing best in every good and perfect way. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Stay and pray as long as you like. Love one another all you want to. And have a blessed night.